Thank you, Ernie. Let's pray. Father, Lord, today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. The grave is empty. Christ is alive. And with that thought, Lord, we think about our own lives, our own walks. Today, it's a reminder of the new start, of the new opportunity. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just captivate this room, garner the attentions of the minds and hearts in this place, and speak. Draw us close to you. Remind us of your grace. Remind us of your mercy. Remind us of the salvation that we either have or can have in Christ. So may this morning, this time, honor you and lift high Christ today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. He is risen.
Indeed.
I tried again, okay? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Matthew records the burial of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea, his tomb, a new tomb, hewn out of the rock. And when Jesus, when his body is lifeless, he goes and asks Pilate for it and buries it. The imagery that you have there in Matthew is that as the stone is rolled to cover literally the entrance to the tomb, there's Mary. Sitting opposite of the stone, I can only imagine what's going through her mind. The next day, the Pharisees and the chief priests go and visit Pilate, and their request from Pilate is that perhaps because this one known as the deceiver, they called the deceiver, referring to Jesus, because he said in 3 days he would rise. He said, we need to station guards at the entrance to the tomb to make sure that somebody didn't come by and steal the body and somehow give report to this one that has risen, because they said the second lie will be far greater, far more impactful than the first. But do you know what was interesting? It wasn't a lie. It was truth. On the third day, he rose. Nobody came and stole the body. Nobody took it and hid it. But he rose. Throughout history, there have been some that have tried to proclaim that the resurrection is a hoax. No. See, there's something about hoaxes that you get to the bottom of a hoax pretty quickly. I mean, hoaxes can only go on for so long before somebody spills the beans and somebody shares truly the depth of the story. In fact, there's a little place outside of New Orleans called Metairie, Louisiana. Steve, are you in here? Okay, just want to make sure. you know where Metairie is, right? Okay, my wife does too. Eating plenty of good seafood in Metairie. But anyhow, that's not the story here. Vincent Castillo had a girlfriend named Leah. And what Vincent decided to do, this soon-to-be ex-girlfriend, that what he ended up doing was he made a false report to the police that barred her literally from coming to her own home. It was one of these instruments that kept her from entering her home and kept her a certain distance away from the home. He had filed a false report. The police entered it in, and this injunction was issued against her, and so she couldn't do anything. She couldn't go to her own home. But this boyfriend could. Well, Vincent's kind of a sly guy. First, he creates this falsified report. Then secondly, you know what he does? And not all people in Metairie do this, but this guy in particular, you know what he did? He had a series of garage sales to sell all of her stuff. Do you know he raised $26,000 on selling her stuff, and she couldn't get to it? By the time the police found out that the report was false, all her belongings had been sold. Vincent had moved out. The hoax got found out. Or what about this week? You know the Eiffel Tower? How many of y'all been to the Eiffel Tower before? You've seen it or seen pictures of it? You know where it's at in Paris? Do you realize that they had a bomb threat at the Eiffel Tower this week? They had to evacuate 1,400 people, and they evacuated and they sent in the sniffing dogs to find the bomb, and you know what? There was no bomb. It was a hoax. But they soon found out the truth. I want you to know this morning that the resurrection of Christ is no hoax. Amen. It's verifiable fact. The tomb is empty. Nobody stole the body. The tomb is empty because he rose. And it's verifiable in the fact that hundreds of people saw, witnessed this resurrected Christ post-death. You see, if it was a hoax, somebody would have spilled the beans. If it wasn't true, somebody would have fessed up to the act. But he arose. 3 days, he rose. And so this morning, I want for you to recognize the very fact that the resurrection of Christ is no hoax. It's fact. It's truth. It happened. And with that, I want to give you a couple of thoughts to in keeping with this whole idea of the resurrection as truth. For example, I want for you to know, each one in this room to know and understand that God loves you. And he loves me. I mean, it's evident by the work of Christ, but it's evident by what God did with his Son. John 3:16 and 17 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the beautiful part is that his Son did not come to condemn the world. See, sometimes we interpret faith in the work of Christ as being some sort of condemning act, but it's not that Christ came to condemn the world, but he came that he might save the world. He came that he would rescue the world. God loves you enough that he came to rescue you. He came to save you, to bring you out and bring you into himself. That's the beautiful part of what God did for us. But also the fact that not only God loves me, but that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the Christ. 1 John 2:22 tells us that it's only the liar that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the righteous one. And see, because God loves us and he sent his Son to die for us, it examples for us the very fact that there is a problem that only God can solve. There's a problem that only God can solve. In fact, Scripture tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us continues to sin. Thank God for his grace. But the very fact that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet Jesus appeared in 1 John 3:5, he appeared in order to take away our sins. For there are no sin, there is no sin in him. See, there was this problem of sin that had to be dealt with, that had to be handled, and only God can do this. Only God could make it happen. Only God could resolve the issue that was there. And so God loved us enough that he gave us his Son to eradicate this issue, this problem of sin. And therefore, Jesus bore our sin. Scripture tells us that he carried our sin. 1 Peter 2 says, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. We are whole. Jesus carried our sins. But also you need to know, you need to believe that Jesus lives today. As he's at the right hand of the Father, but just as they were in the garden, as they were in the tomb, as they were there watching, and the angel came to the woman, came to Mary, said, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. for I have told you so. And Jesus is alive. God loves you. This Jesus is his son, is the Christ, and there's this problem that only God can solve, and the solving of the problem required that Jesus would bear our sin. And to understand that he bore our sin, he died for us, his death on the cross paid the price for our sin, our penalty for our sin, and yet Jesus lives. He rose again. God accomplished his purpose in Christ. Do you remember what it is? One of the last words that Jesus says on the cross? He said, it is what? It is finished. In other words, it's complete. It has been satisfied. It has been accomplished. It has been fulfilled. There is now victory. There is a paid stamp on your cost, your price, your debt. It is finished. But you know, in this gospel story, I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge you with the fact that you cannot ignore Jesus. The resurrection isn't a hoax. It is verifiable fact that it happened, that it took place. Therefore, you cannot ignore Jesus. You can't. I mean, we try. There are plenty of times in life that we try. We try to ignore him. We try to put him off. We somehow try to dodge this faith bullet, this believing test. But you can't ignore him. He comes up in all sorts of conversations, in all sorts of places. I'll give you an example. How many of y'all have been online this morning already? You've been to the Google search page? How many of you have been there? Now, you know, when I went on about 5:15 in the morning to the Google search page today, I expected to see a bunny rabbit. I expected to see Easter eggs. I was being really spiritual and think that I might see a picture of Christ or the tomb. That's way too much for Google, but thought maybe. But do you know whose picture is on Google, the doodle art page? Cesar Chavez. He died several years ago. He's made an impact on people and lives, and his particular work was he was kind of a figure in the labor movement and established what ultimately became the United Farm Workers Union. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day. And you know, I'm sure that Caesar's a great guy, but that's not what I expect. As much as Google tries to hide the fact that today is Easter Resurrection Day, you can't ignore it. You can't. Some may try. In other words, some may come, you know what, I'm going to ignore. I'm going to try to ignore. In other words, I'm going to deal with it later. When somebody puts you in a corner and asks you point blank to literally trust and surrender your life to Christ, you think to yourself, I'll do that later. I'll do that later. I got plenty of time, got many days ahead of me. I'll just do that later. You know what that's called? That's called Scarlett O'Hara disease. Anybody know who Scarlett O'Hara is? How many of y'all seen Gone with the Wind? How many of you actually read it? Now, you're cool if you read the book. I'm impressed. But you know what? You remember what she said in there? She says, I can't think about that right now. If I do, I'll go crazy. I'll think about it, what?
Tomorrow.
You know, tomorrow. The reality is, even if you try to put it off till tomorrow or deal with it later, it's going to keep coming back up. Hey, the bright idea is just deal with it now. Don't keep putting it off. Maybe you might think, you know, it really doesn't apply to me. It doesn't, you know, I'm really a pretty good person, and I really treat people well and nice. And in fact, you know, Brad, you know, if you look at the person that's sitting next to me, you ever known somebody that needs Jesus? They do. I know what they do. I know what their life's like. I know their family, you know. Did you realize that that each of us, one sin disqualifies us outside of God's grace. That's one bad thought, one bad action, one lie, one anything that disqualifies you outside of God's grace. Just because the person next to you uses more grace than you do, I'm just kidding, but just because they do, you still need his grace. The gospel is applicable to you. That's why Jesus died for you. Because he knew you needed it. And so this idea of ignoring, you can't put it off. You can't say it doesn't apply to me. Or maybe I don't have time. I don't have time to do this. I hear that, boy, when you get saved and you like get serious about your faith and walk at Cool Spring, that I heard that they have this saying that Cool Spring is all about living connected. Connected to each other, connected to our community, and most of all, connected to Christ. We do this in three unique ways. We link, learn, and live. And I tell you what, that sounds like a lot of stuff. I don't have time for that. My life's busy and full enough as it is. Let me tell you, there's something interesting. You remember what Ernie said at the end of his testimony? Jesus will rock your world. Man, he'll change it upside down. He'll give you the life that you think you're looking for, but better. And so this idea of I don't have time, here's another one. This is another good excuse. Another one that says, we kind of ignore Jesus. I've heard sometimes people say, that Jesus guy is for weak people. You look at, you ever seen that bumper sticker, real men love Jesus? That Jesus is for weak people. I've watched a little bit of basketball this past month. And I don't want to upset anybody in here per se about your choice of basketball teams. But I guarantee you there were a few teams before this weekend that thought Wichita State was a bunch of wimps. Seemed like Wichita State showed them up a bit, didn't they? Those boys playing some real basketball. Isn't it interesting? Never underestimate where strength is derived. You say, Jesus is for weak people. Let me tell you, Jesus will give you strength, but let me tell you, he'll give you the kind of strength that is incredible. It will rock your world. It will revolutionize your life. It will change your life. It'll be strength that is resounding, strength that is stronger than anything that you could ever accomplish or do. Man, don't sit there and say, Jesus is for pansies. Jesus is for anyone that will come and surrender and give their life to Christ. He's died for you, gave his life for you. And some may think it's just too fantastic to actually believe. Oh, wow, this whole stuff of God becoming man and dying on a cross and rising again, this is just too fantastic for me to believe. Let me tell you, you just believe and allow God to confirm it in you. You just trust him at his word and allow him to confirm it in you. The deal about faith is if you try to figure it all out before you believe, it's no longer faith. God says, believe. And so you place your faith and trust in him. You cannot afford to ignore Jesus any longer. No one in this room can afford to ignore Jesus. In fact, the passage I love to share with you in Acts chapter 2, it's kind of interesting that on Resurrection Day, we would move all the way forward to Pentecost. But the message that Peter delivers is powerful. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 41, he said, "Let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both," meaning Jesus, "Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those that are far off, and everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The idea is let everyone in the house, let everyone in the family, let everyone in the room, let everyone here know for certain, to learn, to observe, to know with confidence, assuredly, without wavering or fault, that God has made Jesus Lord and Christ, that He is Master, Owner, Guardian, Trustee, Messiah, and Anointed One, the One that was crucified for us. When they heard it, when they actually paid attention and they understood, they were silenced and their hearts were torn in the emotion. And they replied, "What shall we do? We can't ignore it any longer. We can't ignore this one called Christ any longer. What is it that we should do? How can we make or accomplish this?" And Peter says simply to repent, to change your mind and to be converted. He talks about following in baptism, identifying with Christ, because he says every one of you that will receive Christ will be pardoned. And God will give the gift of the Holy Spirit, something acquired without compensation. The promise is for you and your children, for all those that God draws unto Himself. The challenge today is save yourself. Do you know Christ? Are you in a relationship with Him? Does He know you? Do you know Him? Trust Him. Place your faith in Him. Surrender your life to Him. Turn it all over to Him. Rescue yourselves by repenting, changing the way you think and changing the way you believe. Changing from trusting yourself to trusting Him. Do you know Christ? I mean, do you really, really, really know Him? I'm not talking about, you know the facts from Sunday school, you know the facts of the story and all, but do you know Him? And in the knowing, do you follow Him? Repent. Believe. Follow. This morning, I want to challenge you, whether you're around the track or whether you're on the lower floor here. We're going to sing in just a minute, time of invitation. And that's truly your invitation to respond. If you've never given your life to Christ, you've never chosen to follow Him, I'm going to challenge you to do that today. Do that right now this morning. In just a moment, we'll be standing and singing. We'll be here in the front. We invite you to come. Truly, this is the day to trust Christ. Resurrection Day. It is truly the example of dying to self and rising in Him. Today can be your resurrection, your spiritual resurrection today. So will you surrender to Him? If you don't know Christ, I'm going to ask you to come. Perhaps God is speaking to you about being a part of the Cool Spring family, and if God's speaking, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about joining and being a part of this church family, we invite you to come this morning as well. As we're standing and singing, and Glenn's up here in the team, you come. We invite you to come. God's doing a work at Cool Spring. We want you to be a part of it. But most importantly, if you have never given your life to Christ, would you choose to follow Him this morning? Step out from where you're standing and meet us here in the front. Simply say, "Today I choose Christ." You know, the resurrection's not a hoax. It happened. You can't ignore Jesus. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't think it's for somebody else. Don't think that only wimpy, sissy people follow Jesus. But you come. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we recognize Your Spirit is here in this place and working among us. Father, I pray Your Spirit would speak to hearts about their fellowship of Christ. That they would be drawn to follow, drawn to choose, drawn to live. Perhaps, Lord, there's some that you're speaking to about being a part of this church family. And Lord, I know you're calling them. And so, Father, may out of obedience, may they make this journey today as they follow you here at Cool Spring. Father, thank you. Thank you for being real. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.